The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Water in the court. Be seated.
It's time for Talk Law Radio with Todd Marquardt. Todd Marquardt, attorney at law in Texas. If you're a millionaire or a thousandaire, Talk Law Radio is now on the air. Call in with your business law question, your elder law question, veteran aid, Medicaid, build a business to get paid. 210-308-8867. Or ask a question online at marquardtlawfirm.com. That's M-A-R-Q-U-A-R-D-T, lawfirm.com. And now, it's Talk Law Radio with Todd Marquardt.
Well, for people who are tuning in that maybe didn't watch or listen to those previous episodes, let's give them some background about you. Tell them about the story, how you became a financial planner.
Yeah. Went to school, studied biochemistry. That's where I'll start. In undergrad, went to Shriner University up in Kerrville. Then from there, had a perfect GPA, so got accepted with a full stipend, full ride to UCLA for grad school, studying organic chemistry. And as I was working in the lab day in and day out, just staring into a fume hood, which would had negative airflow, so you can mix chemicals, I was just like, one day, I hate this. This is not me. So I quit with no financial plan, nothing set up, and started just, you know, tutoring kids in physics and chemistry to survive in Los Angeles, make rent, which was $950 a month at that time. I was able to make it through and then made it back home and started as an intern financial planning, and surprisingly found that I loved that because it was very people-focused and you could always grow and get better at it.
It's a family business, right?
Yep. Work with my father. He's been doing it since 1987, and also my brother. Been doing it since I was in Los Angeles doing some soul searching.
And yeah. What do you like about financial planning?
What I like about it is when you start making the right decisions about your money, it can just drastically improve your quality of life. So I like seeing people sort of wake up and realize that the decisions they're making with money now is going to affect their kids, their grandkids, their great-grandkids even, and the example that they're leading can affect future generations and just sort of like change the whole family line, put it in a positive direction.
It's not just money. Yeah. It's the example, yeah. Right?
Yeah, like I like to say money's fake. It's just kind of like it's based on, you know, the trust you have in it. But the decisions you make with it, you can really multiply money and grow it and inspire others, help people, or do bad things, you know, you say.
Right.
Love of money is the root of all evil. But yeah.
Well, my dad always said that more money makes you more of what you already are.
Yeah.
If you're an alcoholic, you'll drink more.
Yeah.
If you're a charitable person, you'll give more.
Yep. It amplifies.
So,
yep.
Yeah, so I want to talk about some of the reasons that people would leave a legendary legacy. Mm-hmm. And so let me get to my notes here. Mm-hmm. Well, let's start with the definition of legacy. How would you define it?
Very simply, I would say what you leave behind is your legacy. And that's when you pass away, when you die. What do you leave up behind? Did you leave the world a better place? Did you leave a mess? that's how I see it.
Well, I found a definition. Legacy comes from the Latin verb legare, to appoint by a last will or send as an ambassador. Originally, the noun meant ambassador or envoy, but soon shifted to mean the money and property a person leaves behind in his will. In recent usage, political leaders are said to be concerned with their legacies, the historically significant achievements of their tenure in office. So I think if you combine those two things, you can have a purpose for what you're leaving to those you leave behind.
Yeah. Yeah, you were talking about this. It's so important. Like, why are you leaving money behind?
Mm-hmm. And when we talk about the sinners and saints segment, we'll talk about people who have done great things with their legacy. Those will be the saints. And the sinners will be those people that made mistakes with their legacy or failed to do anything and resulting in chaos.
Yeah.
So think about some of people that you know, family, friends, neighbors, clients. Can you remember any legacy stories that inspired you?
I think a lot of my grandpa, actually, and stuff that was said about your circle, who you hang around. And I think a lot of people have heard this, you know, you're the average of the five people you hang around. But that's so true. I also think of my father. He used to say, like, what would your grandma think if she were to see what you're doing? You know, when you're in college, he would kind of like, to get me to behave, you know, not do, you know, kids like to party and stuff like that in college. And that's something I think about nowadays. It's sort of like, I think about it differently, but like, if the kid version of me could see me, like the 8-year-old, would he be like, hey, cool, Joseph's doing cool things. It's exciting. And if the 80-year-old version saw me, would he be like, hey, he's really taking care of the future? That's kind of how I think about it. And now with kids on the way, it's like, I want to do, my parents did a good job, but I want to do an even better job at leaving those examples for my kids.
Yeah. Leaving the values, the lessons. Mm-hmm. I think that's a important thing for me too. And my family, I remember some of the things that my dad's dad said. He said, there's two things that were important to him in life. One was his faith in God, and two was his caring for his family. Everything else was just not that important.
Yeah.
And for my mom's mom, she always talked about how hard she worked.
Yeah.
She wanted us to work.
Yeah.
And yeah. Be productive and earn money, and a lot of my paradigms come from them.
Yeah, the hard work, and that's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so how do we leave a legendary legacy? Well, first I want to compare it with leaving a legacy that might not be so legendary, or when people tell me that they just want to leave what's left, whatever's left, to the kids or grandkids. And it doesn't matter to them what the kids or beneficiaries do with their money.
Yeah.
I call that a passive legacy. It's not active. It's just whatever's left. It just operates on its own, has no purpose.
Yeah. That's interesting. I think that word purpose really sticks out to me. It's like, are you going to be intentional with your legacy or not?
Just yeah.
Like with your life. Yeah.
And I think when we're preparing to leave a legacy, we need to be intentional with our life now.
Yes.
While we're alive. Yeah. And that's why I decided to sign up Lexi. She's my legacy. Sign up Lexi for agility training. We're starting that tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
You know how you watch on TV horses jumping over fences and getting scores for that? Well, they do that with dogs, too. Dogs jump over these things and go through tunnels and walk on a balance beam and over a teeter-totter.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, that's what we're going to start doing.
That's awesome. I think you can tell a lot about someone's personality by how they take care of their dog. Is it well-behaved or not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same with the kids, right?
Okay, well, we got to take a break.
Yeah.
Are you looking for reliable tax services? Look no further than Hector Sines with Liberty Tax Services, our valued sponsor here at Talk Law Radio. With years of expertise and dedication to excellence, Hector Sines ensures your taxes are in safe hands. Whether it's individual or business taxes, trust Hector Sines and Liberty Tax Services for thorough, accurate, and efficient tax solutions. Call Hector Sines at 210-764-5648. That's 210-764-5648 for all your tax needs.
Welcome back to Talk Law Radio. I'm Todd Marquardt here with Joseph Warren, a financial planner with Financial Planning HQ. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about your business and how they can contact you?
Yeah, business is called Financial Planning HQ. We are pure financial planning. That means we just charge one clear, transparent fee for planning, advice, a strategy, and accountability. And we just, really what it is about having that intentionality, that purpose before every financial decision you make. So you're going in the direction you want to go. That's how I would sum it up. Yeah.
And how can they contact you?
Call me at 210-748-6699, or you can email me at Joseph, J-O-S-E-P-H, at financialhq, as in headquarters, .net.
Okay, so we're talking about legacy today, how to leave a legendary legacy. And before the break, I was talking about how to leave a passive legacy when you say, I'll just leave whatever's left to whoever's there with no real purpose for it. Mm-hmm. Another type of legacy that I've learned about over the years that people talk about is how we make people feel. Like I just told that story about my grandfather on my dad's side and my grandmother on my mom's side. Mm-hmm. Those were stories about their character and their values and how I felt about them. Mm-hmm. And so those are more just memories that I have of them. Yeah. And when I pass away, that memory of them is probably going to be gone.
Yeah.
Unless my kids listen to these radio recordings.
Yeah. This is a part of legacy, right?
That's right. Yeah. I hope that someday they learn the value of me talking about the law on the radio.
I'm sure they will.
So you told a story about how your grandmother was like leading you to do good, positive things in your life. Mm-hmm. But we could take that one step further and be more intentional about it. I had a guest a few weeks ago, or maybe it was a couple of months ago, and he said that one tradition that his family had was that they had an agreement, mm-hmm, that they would pray for one another.
Wow.
They would have these family meetings, mm-hmm, about an agreement to pray for one another. And I thought that was so powerful.
Yeah.
And so that reminded me that family traditions and values are part of our legacy. Mm-hmm. You may just be passing those down as an accident without intention or purpose, but some people do that on purpose, like Jacob, mm-hmm, in the Bible. Okay. He was on his deathbed, and he blessed his kids and told them what he expected of them.
Yeah. That's so huge. I love that. I like that. I think that foundation of faith is so important, mm-hmm, because I was thinking about this recently because I have a kid on the way, and I think the prayer is so important. I'm thinking about, like, it's important to sit down as a family, turn off the TV, pray before meals.
Right.
Because if you don't have that, if you don't have, you know, that religion up there, then it's basically being raised by pop culture.
Oh, yeah.
And if you look at society nowadays, I just don't think that's a good idea.
Well, and it's dangerous because the ideas of pop culture are not even good for humanity.
Yeah, it glamorizes like being an alcoholic, gambling,
right,
dangerous stuff. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not good for survival. If you think of a fictional world where animals are discussing about how to further their species, mm-hmm. I don't think that they would do the things that we do.
Yeah. They wouldn't be watching The Simpsons while they eat. No. They talk to each other, right?
Right.
Talk about big ideas.
Right. How to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jacob's blessings led a Jewish culture of writing things down. Mm-hmm. These are the lessons that that I've learned over my life that I also want you to learn. And sometimes we call those written lessons, legacy letters in the Jewish culture. Sometimes they're known as ethical wills. Mm-hmm. Instead of leaving a fistful of cash, you leave a document that says what the ethics and values of the family are.
Yeah. That's so cool. You see that sometimes like a family crest.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's something that you don't see as much anymore. And I love it.
Yeah. After I studied the 7 habits of highly successful people, I did a mission statement for the family. And we had a meeting, me and my wife and the kids, and talked about our values.
Yeah.
Do we want this to be a relaxing place to hang out with one another? Or do we want to yell and scream and fight with each other?
Yeah, like a Wall Street boiler room.
Right. Yeah. So you might think about doing that once your child learns how to talk.
It's cool when you're starting a family because you think about these traditions, right?
Right.
Like, it's just what type, the faith, how we're going to raise our kids. Are we going to let them make mistakes? Are we going to try to prevent them from making mistakes?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe like a warning. That's something we've been talking about recently is like you warn them once. Then if it's not super dangerous, let them try so that they learn to heed the warnings.
Yeah. I saw previews for a TV show about different styles of parenting.
Yeah.
This is all stuff that I didn't know about when I became a parent.
Yeah.
We were sort of helicopter parents for a long time.
I got to watch out for that because one of my parents was, and I worry. So you don't want to pass on the legacy of worrying about everything.
Right.
As well. Right. So it's like your way of being is also a thing that your kids will look to.
Yeah. My middle son, I worried about a lot because he always wanted to be outside doing dangerous things. Like he wanted to climb trees. And that was just horrifying to me.
Yeah.
Like if you fall, we're going to have to go to the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everything turned out good with him so far. He did fall out of a tree one time when we were hunting. He wanted to be in the tree so that he could watch the hogs come by. Mm-hmm. And then for some reason, he wanted to come down from the tree. Well, one of the branches that had helped him get up broke on his way down, and he did fall. I don't know if it was 12, 15, or 20 feet, but it was very scary. He turned out okay. He didn't get injured, but that's just one of those situations with having kids. Sometimes they get hurt.
Yep, and they push boundaries too. And it's like, yeah, a lot of things to learn. I think you learn a lot, I'm sure, through raising kids.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, so we talked about attitude and family traditions and values. One thing I like to ask is, what do you hope that your beneficiaries will achieve by receiving an inheritance from you?
Yeah. That's a great question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you think of anybody that you've met that did have something that they wanted their beneficiaries to achieve?
Starting a business. I see that with a lot of entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like people want their kids to do what they did. So a lot of it, if it's a government worker, you want them to be a government worker. But I've had some people who are just like, I want my kids to be happy and to pursue something that's meaningful to them with this money.
Yeah. Well, I would tell them to write that down.
Yeah.
Even if it's on a scrap of paper.
Yeah.
Because their children will read that over and over again.
Yeah. I've been seeing that, like, even once a year, writing, you know, highlights for your kids and things you learned. And
yeah.
I think having that tradition is just so huge. I mean, the whole Old Testament, right? It's like this written history. It's like,
right.
Have your family be intentional with the things you're teaching your family. That's the reason we for our clients, we teach them, their kids, how to invest. We'll have money masterminds on based on Rich Dad, Poor Dad and different books on, like, how the rich manage their money, how the middle class manage their money, how poor people manage their money. And, yeah.
Those are great lessons. Yeah. I saw on Facebook recently a board game advertised by Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
The cash flow game, yeah.
Have you seen it?
I have. I played it before. You can play it for free online. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, in a similar fashion, I did find another game by the guy that wrote Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill. There's a board game for that, too.
I did not know that. I love that book.
It's sort of complicated, the game.
Yeah.
My family and my sister-in-law's family tried to play it one time. It takes a long time. You have to be prepared for that.
Yeah. Sort of like trying to think of an equivalent, but like Settlers of Catan or something where it takes a...
Well, you know, even Monopoly takes a long time to play.
Yeah. You just reminded me of... when I graduated from elementary school, my parents got me a copy of the book, Think and Grow Rich.
Really?
And I still have it. And I remember when I graduated, I was, you know, I wanted to go play Pokemon. I didn't care about the book at all.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that over time I kind of grew into it. And I like that they challenged me with that book when I was leaving
at 12 years old.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't find that book until I was probably 25 or older. But it's a good book.
Yeah.
Some of the things that people have told me over the years that they hope their children or their beneficiaries will achieve is an education. Mm-hmm. They want their kids to be educated.
Yeah.
And so use this money to make sure that your kids and my grandkids are educated, that they go to college or technical school or... get your certification in this, that, or the other.
Yeah. That's something you see a lot of, and there's many different ways to plan for that, including making it tax-free.
Talk about that.
Yeah. So, like, a lot of times 529 plans. Sometimes people will even use life insurance to do that, cash value life insurance, basically to save money tax-free. As long as it's used for college in a 529 plan, you can use it for tuition, books, things like that.
I think that there's a new law that says if you don't use all the money in the 529 plan for education, it can be used for retirement.
Interesting. Yeah, that's really cool. A lot of times I've seen people in the past before that law, they would just give it to other kids. And you kind of pass it because you never know if the kid's going to go to like Harvard or they're just going to go to trade school.
Right.
And there's different arguments nowadays for like what's the ROI or return on investment that you get for college.
Yeah.
Depending on where you go. So, yeah.
Well, for me, I'm less concerned about the return on investment. I just want to have better conversations with my kids.
I think that's
so. I want them to learn something, anything.
Yeah.
Even if they didn't go to college, if they would just go to the library and read books.
Yeah.
But college is a more organized way of presenting the information.
Yeah. Learning all those important skills and just how to think. I think that's the main thing.
Right. That's what they did in law school. Everybody thinks that we go to law school to learn the law, but really we go there to learn the Socratic method.
Interesting, yeah.
Which is how to understand something by question and answer.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking about the saints and sinners of legacy, so stay tuned.
Are you looking for reliable tax services? Look no further than Hector Sines with Liberty Tax Services, our valued sponsor here at Talk Law Radio. With years of expertise and dedication to excellence, Hector Sines ensures your taxes are in safe hands. Whether it's individual or business taxes, trust Hector Sines and Liberty Tax Services for thorough, accurate, and efficient tax solutions. Call Hector Sines at 210-764-5648. That's 210-764-5648 for all your tax needs.
Welcome back to Talk Law Radio. I'm Todd Marquardt, 9:30 a.m. The Answer. Podcasts everywhere, Facebook Live, YouTube, and talklawradio.com. During our third segment, I like to talk about the sinners and saints. You might remember Martin Luther, the theologian who nailed his 95 thesis to the church door in 1517, said, "The saints are sinners too, but they are forgiven and absolved." And so in this third segment, we're going to talk about the saints and sinners of leaving a legacy. Mm-hmm. Okay. What a bad legacy would be one of chaos, right?
Yep.
And so I recently heard in the news about a person who left a legacy of chaos. You remember Aretha Franklin?
Yes. Very good singer, yeah.
Well, they found a will folded up in the couch cushions.
Wow.
It was handwritten, and it caused two of her sons. I don't know how many sons she had, but the article I read was just talking about these two sons that were fighting over who should be executor, because there was another will.
Oh, wow.
And so I guess each will had named a different person to be executor.
Wow. That's crazy.
So I would call her a sinner.
Yep.
for not having a will prepared by an attorney that's legally enforceable and tries to reduce family conflict.
Definitely. That's the whole point, right?
Yeah. I always try and help our clients tax efficiently, protect and preserve assets, reduce family conflict, and maximize whatever benefits we can get for them.
Definitely.
I wanted you to talk about what are some ways of leaving a legacy. You mentioned life insurance before.
Yeah. I think a great part about life insurance, right now I think Index Universal Life, IUL, is trending. But I think a good part about it is that you pass money tax-free. The death benefit, if uses a death benefit, is tax-free.
Well, talk about some of the structural components of a universal life insurance policy.
Yep. So I'm just going to kind of talk about relative to term and whole life.
Yeah.
So term is the cheapest. It's just pure death benefit meant to protect your family. So you can get like, you know, $2 million, $3 million for very cheap. So if you can't work, it just protects that income that you would lose, mm-hmm, if you passed away. Index universal life and, you know, variable life is where you take that term and you make an annual renewable term. Because you're getting older, it becomes more expensive each year. So sometimes you can run into trouble if you're not overfunding it, if you're like 70, 80, because then the cost of insurance is way up. But it takes the extra money that you put into it and it puts it into an index, and it gets credited and grows over time based on the index, like S&P 500 or Dow Jones, things like that.
So if the market is doing well, then the value of your policy is going up.
Yep. And it doesn't lose money if the market goes down. So it's kind of like, but there's a little bit of a cap too, they'll sometimes put on it. So that's great if you overfund it, because you could take that cash value tax-free, loan it to yourself, use it for money. Whole life is more expensive, but it's just straight up guaranteed if you pay it for the 10 years, 20 years, or for the life of the policy, you will have a death benefit with the cash value. And it usually has a guaranteed dividend as well. So,
And so the cash value you can borrow against, right?
Yep. People like to borrow against them. So you can see, like, if you get that for, like, a kid, it grows over their lifetime. When they're 18, when they're 22, they could take that money out.
And that just reduces the death benefit if you don't pay it back, right?
Yep, yep. It's just like a loan, and then you can just pay it back or not pay it back.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned tax-free. How is that?
Basically, if you loan the money to yourself, there's no taxation on it.
Because it's not income.
It's a loan, yeah.
Right.
Just like a lot of wealthy people, they'll do like collateral. They'll use their stock portfolio. Say you have like a $5 million stock portfolio. They'll use it as collateral, get a loan, and that's tax-free as well. And then they'll live off that.
But you have to pay interest.
That's the only thing is the interest, yeah. But it's lower because it's collateralized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are the features of a whole life policy?
Features of a whole life are you get dividends and it's truly permanent. So sometimes I see issues with IULs. I've seen this a lot when I used to work at companies in the past like MetLife, MassMutual. And as you get to be 80 years old, that annual renewable term portion of it, because it's kind of like a hybrid of permanent and term, starts becoming more expensive. The cost of insurance isn't $40 a month anymore. Now it's a higher number.
Mm-hmm.
So when you keep paying $40 a month and you don't update it over time, you don't maintain it with your insurance broker, your financial planner, there's a chance that it could start running out of money. So I say if you're going to use IUL, again, you need to know the purpose of why you're doing it,
mm-hmm.
like you were talking about, and make sure that you're acting in accordance with that purpose. If you want to overfund it for tax-free money, overfund it, make sure it lasts till age 100, 120.
Mm-hmm.
Or get whole life if you want to be very safe with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so with your financial planning business, do you sell these policies or how does that work?
So we only charge, like I said, for the, what's it called? The financial plan, the financial strategy. So we don't like to sell financial products because we personally believe that's a conflict of interest, even though I know someone has to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll work with independent insurance brokers and to come up with the best solution based on their financial strategy.
And are some insurance companies better than others?
I believe so. I would search with one that's a big company. So I like the big companies. You can look at their ratings as well. They have ratings. And I like mutual companies. So it's for the benefit of the policyholders.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, like, they'll pay higher dividends.
Basically. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
On their whole lives. Yeah.
I thought of another type of legacy, which I call social capital legacy. People that want to give back not only to their family, but to the community somehow, or to their alma mater, the college or university that they went to. And it reminded me of this story that I heard just through the grapevine about how an old farming couple wanted to donate money to Harvard.
Yeah.
Have you heard this story?
I've never heard it.
Oh, okay. So they show up at the annual giving office at Harvard in their overalls because they're farmers. And the executive there doesn't want to meet with them because they look like they're poor. And so they leave that office and they say, well, if this university won't accept our money, then we'll start our own university. And that became Stanford.
Wow.
That's the story. I recently learned that it's false.
Oh, that's a cool story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's this website for Times Union that sort of debunked that myth. But it was a cool story anyway.
Yeah.
Goes to show you that the millionaire next door, you know, might not dress in nice clothes.
Yeah, you never know. Looks can be deceiving, right?
Mm-hmm. Some people like to create or leave scholarships.
Yeah.
You know, for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of government money that you can get for college or university.
Mm-hmm.
And I had always heard about the, you know, when you go to college, you have to fill out this form called the FAFSA. Mm-hmm. It's for federal grants and things. And one of the grants that you can get is called the Pell Grant. Mm-hmm. And so I looked up, where did this come from? Well, it came from Senator Claiborne Pell from Rhode Island, who served from 1961 to 1996. He helped create the Basic Education Opportunity Grant Program, later renamed the Pell Grant Program. And my middle son is going to college now, and so I had to help him fill out that form.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I don't think he has that grant, but he's working to pay for his own school, because when he was 10, I think, I told him he was going to have to pay for his own school. Wow. Because I'm still paying for my school.
Yeah.
Repaying the loans for going to law school, and I said, I can't save for you, and so you should be good at something.
Yeah.
And you can be a good student, or you can be a good baseball player, or you can be a good musician. Mm-hmm. Just find something over the next 8 years to be good at. And he was good at baseball.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And he did have a scholarship to play baseball, but that coach broke his promise and broke my son's heart. And he decided just to go to school.
Yeah.
So that's a story for another day. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about legacy. We'll talk about your legacy and some favorite things that you like to do. So stay tuned.
Are you looking for reliable tax services? Look no further than Hector Sines with Liberty Tax Services, our valued sponsor here at Talk Law Radio. With years of expertise and dedication to excellence, Hector Sines ensures your taxes are in safe hands. Whether it's individual or business taxes, trust Hector Sines and Liberty Tax Services for thorough, accurate, and efficient tax solutions. Call Hector Sines at 210-764-5648. That's 210-764-5648 for all your tax needs.
Welcome back to Talk Law Radio. I'm Todd Marquardt on 930 AM The Answer. Podcasts everywhere, also Facebook Live, YouTube, and talklawradio.com. I'm here with Joseph Warren, a financial advisor with Financial Planning HQ. We're talking about how to leave a legendary legacy. And since this is our fourth segment, we like to talk about our own legacy. Okay. Well, I forgot in the Sinners and Saints segment to bring up a saint.
Oh, yeah.
Well, everybody thinks Mother Teresa. You know, she was giving. She's famous for helping poor people find medication.
Yeah.
And so many people attribute sainthood to her, but who's more of a saint than Mother Teresa? That left a legendary legacy.
First person comes to mind is Jesus.
Yes. That's what I wanted to say, is who could leave a better legacy than giving people eternal life? He died, and our inheritance isn't eternal life.
Wow. Yeah.
That's the best legacy. I mean, he had purpose, mm-hmm. and he had intention on fulfilling that for all of us.
Yeah. You think about that. I remember someone saying, it was someone famous. I forgot who it was, but he's saying, like, Jesus is definitely the most famous person in the world.
Yeah.
if you think about it.
That's true. That's another part of his legacy, as he's very well known.
Extremely, yeah.
I wanted to mention our seminar that's coming up. And the reason I wanted to talk about legacy at this upcoming seminar and today in our show is I want to teach people how to be more intentional about developing the legacy that they want to leave now. For example, I'm trying to do things for myself and my family now, increasing my skills, learning new things, becoming a better leader at work and at home, so that I have something to leave.
Yeah,
you know, I want to be more financially successful so that I can leave something to encourage my family to not only help the family, but to help the community and the world.
Wow, yeah.
And so I was talking to my dad about this. I was asking him, what do his friends say about legacy? And his experience is pretty similar to mine, that most people don't think about it or even talk about it. Mm-hmm. But what he told me was, maybe you've never thought of your life having a lasting purpose on your family or even the broader community, but you do have that power, that opportunity to be something more and to make a difference for an individual, a philosophy, or even a larger set. So that's my father's quote for the day.
I love it.
I want to ask you about your legacy, about your passion for helping the homeless. Tell us about that.
Yeah. I recently made a video about it on my YouTube channel under my name, Joseph D. Warren, if you want to see that. But during the pandemic, the business was slowing down a lot, and I was scared. I was calling one of my friends and basically looking for backup plans, like maybe we can work nights here, do this. And she said, let's go help homeless people. And at first I was kind of angry that she said that, because I was like, I can barely take care of myself. I have a business, you know, people rely on me. But I actually tried it, and I found that it helped me to feel better. I'm saying maybe it starts a little bit selfish, but it helped me to get outside myself and realize there's more to life than just me. And it made me see my own problems with a lot more perspective. So, you know, I have a lot more options than somebody on the street. You started learning people's situations, and just learning to connect with people on a human level who are going through hard times, maybe made some bad decisions, maybe just had hard times fall upon them.
Yeah.
But it's something that I really believe changed my life, made me a more humble person, allowed me to just always have a way of getting an outside perspective on things that I'm worried about. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, every year I interview somebody from the Thanksgiving dinner, Raul Jimenez Thanksgiving dinner, and that's how they got started.
Wow.
Was the father, the patriarch of the family, was a chef, and he said, I want to feed people.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah. It's so I don't know, it's just like the level of joy you see sometimes when you help someone out who's in a really bad situation. It's just you don't often see it in people who are in much better situations, you know, middle class, people who have a lot of money. You just see people's face light up, and it's like, yeah, like this is probably what we're meant to do, is really help the people who need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Serve God's people. One of my passions is trying to help people discover Jesus and to have hope instead of despair.
Yeah.
And so I'm hope that when I talk about Jesus on the radio and the law and gospel, that people are remembering their faith and learning to live their faith and not be afraid of it. Nowadays, I think it's harder than in previous generations to talk about faith. Some people seem to be hostile about it.
I think that's interesting as a culture that we don't talk about religion, politics, and sometimes even money. Because if you think about what that does, if you don't talk about those things, it just makes you like very easy to control. Your future, you're not talking about your future. You're not talking about the future of your soul. you're not talking about the things that actually matter. You're talking about superficial, like I said, pop culture.
Right.
So I think that's a very interesting thing, and that's a tradition I do not want my family to have. We'll talk religion. We'll talk faith. We'll talk money. And I believe that's the way, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a very good perspective. I didn't think about it in that way, but I will now. I hope that my kids remember me as a religious person that helped them to develop their faith. And I'm hoping that my listeners will do the same, because it is important. And we do need to talk about the issues in government. I hope that we can have those conversations in a civil manner instead of using name calling and other rude and bad tactics.
Yeah, and that's another way they get people not talking. It's like the name calling, the ad hominem, and then it's just like by talking to people who disagree with you. I think that's important. You start to sharpen your own beliefs, and I like to see that instead of like, oh, I heard Ben Shapiro say that, or I heard I don't know the liberal equivalent of Ben Shapiro, but. I don't know who that would
be. The guy on HBO.
Bill Maher say that. Like, I like when I hear people have original thoughts, even if they may not be right or
right.
I think they're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I thought of some other legacies through the social capital model. People that have really gone out of their way to change things, whether you like it or not. President Barack Obama has a legacy through his Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to remember him for pushing that through, don't you think?
It has a name on it. People are still saying Obamacare. He's not in office anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Some other things that I remembered and I looked up was I think maybe Steve Jobs will be remembered for bringing a computer to every household.
Yeah, that's a huge legacy. Mm-hmm. I think he also kind of like he started the trend of like the jerk boss.
Oh yeah,
kind of like I'm a jerk, but I get things done type of mentality. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bill Gates.
Yeah.
With software, Microsoft software.
Yeah.
And then I was wondering whether Elon Musk. Was given a large inheritance. And so what I found was this quote. He said, "I grew up in a lower transitioning to an upper middle income situation, but did not have a happy childhood. Haven't inherited anything ever from anyone, nor has anyone given me a large financial gift." Musk said his father never supported him financially after high school in any meaningful way. "But my father created a small electrical mechanical engineering company that was successful for 20 to 30 years, but fell on hard times after that. He has been essentially bankrupt for about 25 years, requiring financial support from my brother and me. However," he said, "my father deserves credit for teaching me the fundamentals of physics, engineering, and construction, which is more valuable than money."
Yeah.
Because that enabled him to become what he has become so far.
It's that blueprint that you teach kids, like teaching your kids the mentality of being able to start a business or make money. I like that.
Okay. Another purpose might be to advance medicine or healthcare. I learned Dr. Edward Jenner created the world's first successful vaccine. He found out that people infected with cowpox were immune to smallpox. Mark, did we have a call? Okay. Some people want to alleviate poverty, like you.
Yeah.
The quote from Mother Teresa that's famous, "Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love."
I love that, man. That's probably going to stick with me, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we talked about Jesus. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, are you familiar with some of the charitable planning that people can do that could also simultaneously benefit their family?
Yeah. One thing I've been seeing a lot of lately is giving while you live kind of thing, mm-hmm. of taking your required minimum distributions. So if you put money in an IRA, say like $1 million, at age 73 now, you're required to start taking money out. It's 100% taxable. And a lot of people, especially when they have a lot of money, they don't really need the money.
Right.
So you can take half of it, all of it even, if it's up to $100,000 a year, give it straight to a charity, and it won't get taxed.
You don't pay tax on that.
Yeah.
That's the qualified...
Charitable distribution,
QCD.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of that.
Well, thank you for joining me today. Had a lot of fun talking about leaving a legendary legacy.
Me too. Thank you, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
And if you're interested in our seminar, which I didn't tell you the details of, email me at host@talklawradio.com. That's host@talklawradio.com. I'll talk to you later.
Are you looking for reliable tax services? Look no further than Hector Sines with Liberty Tax Services, our valued sponsor here at Talk Law Radio. With years of expertise and dedication to excellence, Hector Sines ensures your taxes are in safe hands. Whether it's individual or business taxes, trust Hector Sines and Liberty Tax Services for thorough, accurate, and efficient tax solutions. Call Hector Sines at 210-764-5648. That's 210-764-5648 for all your tax needs.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.